Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast.
Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast. My name is Braden Pohowicz, and my friend over there sitting across from me is John Drabert. Now, before we get started, I wanted to say thank you
You are so welcome, Braden. I am so glad that you are happy about it all. But quick question, why are you thanking me in specific?
Well, John, I want you to look up humble in the dictionary, and we'll talk about that later. But I'm not thanking you. I am thanking the listeners. So last week, something crazy happened, and we had way more downloads than usual. And since neither of us really know who those new listeners are, we can safely assume that our listeners are sharing the podcast with their friends and families, which is really awesome. So thank you for doing that. It means so much to both of us. Continue to do that. If you learn and like what you're hearing, please share.
Yeah, that is great. Thank you so much. So Braden, last week you asked me what I could give a no-prep 10-minute talk about, and I said the Edmonton Oilers, and you said coffee. So yes. This week, I got a question for you.
Okay.
What is the strangest and most fun, or at least fun, opportunity that you took full advantage of? Now, I realize it might be a bit of a bizarre question, so just so everybody knows, I did give Braden a heads up.
Yeah, perfect, John. Thanks for the 30 second heads up.
Oh, come on.
There was very little heads up, but the first one that comes to mind is I graduated from university a few years ago, and in my third year of university, I had a really cool opportunity to go on a trip. Now, as anyone knows, any university student is just stockpiled in money. I just had extra money everywhere. Every university student. Just kidding. I was super poor and was eating noodles and Ichiban pretty much every meal. I took the opportunity to go on this trip, and it was to Scotland and Ireland, and it was amazing. It was a research opportunity, so I got to go overseas and do some studying and some research with a couple universities over there, which was amazing. Now, one of the coolest parts and the most fun parts was we were studying or supposed to be in class or with professors for most of the day. But then around 3 o'clock, we were free to roam whatever city we were in at the time. And so we went to about 7 different cities.
Wow.
Over kind of a 3-week period. And I got to do some really, really cool things. I went to the Titanic Museum in Belfast, which was really neat, the place where they put the Titanic together and launched it to London. I also got to visit Edinburgh Castle, which was really neat. I got to see the cafe where J.K. Rowling wrote the first couple of Harry Potter books. I really enjoyed my time there. It was pretty amazing. The thing that I believe I took full advantage of is I had zero money. And so honestly, John, I put it all on my student loans.
Oh my goodness.
So maybe not the most financially responsible decision, but I have never regretted it. It was an amazing experience, and I got to learn a lot and make some connections with people and with universities that might help me study in the future. I'm looking into a master's program over there, and that would be really cool.
That would be very cool.
Yeah. How about yourself? I'll throw the question back at you.
Well, my best friend grew up on a sheep farm.
I didn't grow up on a sheep farm.
No, my other best friend. So my best friend growing up, he grew up on a sheep farm, and we would go mutton busting.
I don't get it.
All right. So you know at the rodeos...
Is this clean for our viewers?
Oh, yeah. This is completely clean. So Perfect. You know at the rodeos when cowboys climb onto the backs of bulls and they try to stay on for 8 seconds without getting bucked off, right?
Yep.
It's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, the understatement. Yep.
Well, when we were probably around 6 or 7 years old, we would climb onto the backs of sheep and try to stay on as long as possible.
Wow.
Just like the pro bull riders, and it is called mutton busting. And I fell off regular. I wasn't very good. But my friend who lived on the sheep farm, he was pretty good, and he had a lot of fun with it as well.
Sheep are wily.
They're kind of crazy.
They don't
really know what they're going to do when you get on the backs of them.
No. That's so sweet. That sounds like fun. We should try that today.
Yeah. I think we'd probably be too big. 6 or 7 years old. Well, today's story teaches us blessing comes with obedience. Now, God gives us all instructions, most of which are found in Scripture. When we follow God's instructions, good things come to our lives as a result. So that doesn't mean the absence of hard and difficult things or situations in our life, but a general flow of life is when we are obedient to God, blessings follow.
Yeah, that's a really exciting lesson, John. So today's story is found in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 9, and it looks at the call of Abraham.
You are correct, but I'm going to change a bit of the wording.
Oh.
All right, it is God's very strange and adventurous instructions to Abram.
Right, because God didn't change his name yet, so it's still Abram and not Abraham.
That's right.
Okay, so let's share a little bit of background about this story before we get started. We read it in Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible. In Genesis, we learn a lot about the world we live in today. We get to learn about the creation. We start with the first two humans, Adam and Eve. We learn about the sin nature that we live in today, and it kind of continues on until eventually we get to today's society. But we're going to jump somewhere between Adam and Eve and us today.
Yeah. And we also read, you know, about when their first children are born, the first murder, the first nation and cities, and more significantly, how wicked the world became. Which brings us all the way up to the story of Noah and the flood and the Tower of Babel, which you told us about several months ago.
Yes, I did. I remember that.
So then we finally get to Abram and his family. Now, Abram was married to Sarai, who would also later get a name change. Sarai was unable to have children, and the two of them, Abram and Sarai, were living together within Abram's father's household or camp.
Right. So living in the same household didn't mean that they were in the same house, physical space.
Correct.
But they lived within the same camp. So kind of on like the same property. They were farmers or shepherds, in fact. And so they had a large plot of land, lots of camp, lots of tents and servants and family members and stuff like that. So they would have lived on the same property.
Mm-hmm. Now they were in the midst of a huge move to Canaan. Now, Terah, Abram's father, or his dad, he ordered that everyone stop, and so they didn't get all the way to Canaan, and they settled in the land of Haran. Now, this is where Terah died at the age, now get this, at the age of 205 years old.
Wow, that's only like a couple years older than you, John.
Really?
Like 4 or 5.
Okay, so this is where we pick up the story. So while Abram is still in Haran, God says something really, really strange.
Right. So let me read this so everyone, so we can hear exactly what God says. So in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, that's what I'm going to read. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." All the families on earth. That's crazy. That last part wasn't in there. I added that, but
yeah, and that's a lot of families. So I think this is strange for a couple of reasons. First of all, why leave his father's family?
Mm-hmm.
There's strength in numbers, and Abram, I believe, was the eldest son. So with his dad having passed away, he would have been the person in charge. He would have been the person to take over the family business.
Right.
So God was asking him to give up this huge family business of sheep and goat farming. It would have been made way more sense for God to use the existing family with all its resources, right?
Yeah. I mean, there certainly are some strange aspects to his instruction to Abram. But God was very clear in his instructions and told him to go. Interestingly, Abram's nephew, Lot, went with him. And at 75, Abram was no young scoundrel.
Not even a little bit. So now remember, Abram lived to be 175 years old. Mm-hmm. So maybe back then, I'm just guessing, but maybe people back then didn't age at the same rate as we do today. So a 75-year-old, maybe he was like more like a 40-year-old. I don't know. Yeah. In today's terms, anyways.
Yeah, we could have assumed that their bodies didn't, you know, slow down as fast as they do now. I think that makes sense. So continuing on, Abram and everyone that was a part of his household left Canaan. And when they got to Shechem, they stopped and they set up camp beside a large oak tree.
All right, trick question. Do you know who was living in Canaan at that time?
The Canaanites.
Correct. And?
The Canaanites families.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Abram and his family, they just moved there and were new to the area.
Okay, well, you get an eye roll for that, and everybody, you can imagine that happening. Oh, boy. Okay, on with the story, John.
All right, so this is where the story gets strange again. Listen to verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, could you imagine how scary and awe-inspiring and completely overwhelming it would be to see God?
No, I couldn't. As strange as it would be to see God, I mean, I hope that we would be, you know, filled and have like worship. I think it would be amazing. Like I wouldn't really know how to react, but I think it would, you know.
Yeah, well, I think Abram responds really well. And he worships God.
Right.
Well, Abram continued to travel all the way to the Negev in stages. So he would stop and set up camp and then they'd continue. It wasn't a fast journey. And on the way, he builds another altar. And again, he worships God there.
So just to clarify, when he builds an altar, do we know like what that would be? Is that like wood? Is that rocks? It's a point where he can worship God, right? Something that he like dedicates to the Lord.
Yeah, I don't even know what all the materials they would have used to build an altar, but I'm guessing it was mostly just stone.
Mm, okay, good. So we see him build two altars and leave his family. We see him, you know, leave the farm, leave the business. And that's it. That's the call of Abram. I mean, God's very strange and very adventurous instructions to Abram.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily seem all that strange until you take some time to reflect on it, what he was giving up to follow God.
Right. He would have had a surefire future set out at the farm. Yeah. John, I'm going to be honest. It's not always easy to see God's blessing in our life. I struggle with that, and I know other people do too. You said at the start that the lesson for today is blessing comes with obedience. Now we see Abram leave something that's very comfortable, very set up, and it doesn't really look that much different than where he arrives. Life didn't change all that much. His household has not grown into a nation right away. His wife, Sarai, has not had a baby, and they've had to wander all over the place to make sure that their herds had food or grass to eat. I guess the question is then, where is the promised blessing? We saw God promise all these things, but I'm not really seeing it in the story.
Yeah. So, Brayden, you know the promises are not complete yet, right? In fact, it's going to take hundreds of years before Abram's descendants become a nation and settle in the land of Canaan. But, you know, let's notice in verse 1 that God speaks to Abram. He gets a message from God, and then he was obedient. He left his father's family, and he goes out off to Canaan. Now, as a result, blessing comes. God then physically shows up, and Abram is in the presence of God. Now, I can't think of anything greater, no blessing greater than the presence of God.
Yeah, true. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, you said it well yourself. I hope we would be able to worship God if we saw him and were in his presence. You alluded to that earlier when we were reading verse 7.
I mean, this principle of obedience and blessing has followed you and I and every other Christian. We obediently commit our lives to follow God, and he blesses us with the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who dwells in us. God's presence is with us, which is, again, another kind of strange and crazy adventurous thought.
Right? Maybe we should build an altar and worship God.
Well, I don't know how to build an altar, but...
Yeah, me neither.
We can definitely spend more time worshiping God, even after this episode is over. So, don't forget, when it comes to God, blessing comes with obedience.
Well, it's time for our growth tip, a way for each of us to grow in a relationship with Jesus.
Today, John, I want to focus on worship as our response to God. I think we should simply list 10 reasons why we should worship God.
Hey, that's a great idea, but be sure to count down from 10 to build momentum.
Okay. Really? Okay, in no particular order, counting down from 10 because, first of all, he loves us.
Excellent. Number 9, because he gives us all we need and more.
Number 8, we have a hug and a cup, also known as coffee to enjoy. And more importantly, people who love us and give us real hugs.
Number 7, because he is all powerful.
Number 6, because he knows my hurts.
Number 5, because he knows my joys.
Number 4, because he will never stop inviting me into a relationship with him.
Number 3, because he has given us opportunities to serve him.
Number 2, because he has done an incredible job at creating each and every one of us.
And number 1, because we're building so much momentum right now. It's great. Drum roll, please. Faster, faster. Number 1. Very good.
Thank you. All right, practice.
So now we're not distracted. Number 1, Jesus died for my sins and your sins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing and so simple.
Mm-hmm. Feels good, actually, to reflect on that, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, 10 reasons, I think we could go on for so many more, but that's amazing. Let's focus on those 10 this week.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. Please share this story with your friends. We appreciate you so much.
We love you guys and are praying for each and every one of you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Story Podcast. There is nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus. Share this with a friend and have a great discussion.